I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days I'll pour out my spirit. I'll show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, I was reading from the book of Joel, Chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And this is a prophecy, about the end of days and the coming of the Spirit. This prophecy was taken up by Peter in his first address to the crowds at Jerusalem, explaining the event of the Pentecost and the new phenomena of the gift of tongues, speaking in languages that everybody could understand. I started today's reflection with this prayer and prophecy because it deals with a particular type of literature, that is the apocalyptic literature. Today we are going to focus our attention on the apocalyptic literature in the Bible. We have seen the historical books, 21 of them. We have seen prophetic books, 18 of them. And we have seen also wisdom books, either 6 or even including Psalms 7. So the 46 books of the Old Testament are usually put into three different categories: historical books, prophetic books, and wisdom books. But there is one book which does not belong to exclusively to any of these categories, the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is presented as a prophecy, a book of prophets in today's understanding. And the Hebrews, the Jews, put the book of Daniel among the section called the writings. But the book of Daniel has a particular nature, something different from other books of prophecy or history. And there are also certain other parts of books like Jeremiah or Isaiah, Joel or Zechariah. So these particular parts, sections of the book also have a different nature, and that particular nature or literature is called apocalyptic literature. The time of the apocalyptic literature is usually understood to be between 2nd century BC and 2nd century AD. And this is somehow also the intertestamental period, a time between the Old Testament and New Testament. The literature that came in this period of the intertestamentary time is also called the intertestamental literature. Apart from the two books and parts of the Old Testament books that I have mentioned, there are numerous such books that deal with the apocalyptic or belong to the category of apocalypse. The apocalyptic, the word, the term apocalyptic comes from the Greek word apokalupto. Apokalupto. Kalupto means to hide, to keep hidden. And apokalupto means to reveal, to unveil the secret. Something that remains hidden is being unearthed, somehow revealed. So apocalypto means to reveal, bring to light, open. And this word is used to denote a particular type of literature, and that is the type of revelation. So as I said, the book of Daniel, most of the part, the book of Daniel, and the entire book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, belong to this particular nature. So what the term apocalypto, apocalypsis means is revealing God's hidden plan. God has a plan about the whole world and universe. It's a salvific plan. But that plan is remaining hidden from the scrutiny of humans. We know only what takes place. Prophets had foretold it is the impending disaster or destruction, also the salvation that comes. But the prediction, sometimes it was fulfilled, sometimes these predictions are still to be fulfilled. But apocalyptic is different from the prophetic prediction. Apocalyptic literature envisages the revelation of these hidden plans of God. And it is said that certain individuals are given a special insight into the hidden plans of God. And this insight is given through the intervention of an extraterrestrial being like an angel. And certain people of the ancient time were given this special revelation. They had written it down. And now this has come to the open. So the term apocalyptic means revelation, revealing God's hidden plan for salvation. And that is being presented to us. Now, in order to understand the content of the book, the nature of its presentation, we have to focus attention on the time of its origin. Where did this apocalyptic literature originate? When did it originate? And why this type of literature? We have been going through the history of Israel. From the creation, through the story of the patriarchs and the liberation from Egypt, the conquest and the settlement in Canaan, and then the monarchy and the exile, post-exilic period, we have gone through all this. One thing that strikes us in this travel through the history, that people are always frustrated. The common people never get their rights. There are some who dominate, but most of the people, the majority is being dominated. They thought liberation from Egypt would bring them total freedom. But what came was the journey through the desert. And when they came to the promised land, they thought the promised land flowing with milk and honey will give them happiness. But there was always the attack, threat, danger of the enemies, foreigners. Then they asked for a king, thinking the kings would protect them. But contrary to the expectations, the king became worse tyrants than the pharaohs of Egypt. They went to exile, and when they came back, the prophets and visionaries told them that God would give them a future. Kings disappointed them. Prophecies did not fulfill. And the advice of the wise men did not bring real happiness. So in this situation, people are looking for something else. Can any human individual bring true freedom, true happiness to humanity? And they said, they realized from experience, it is impossible. The true happiness is not possible in this world. No human agent can bring this true happiness. That's the kind of realization they come to. So now, how are we to become happy? What is the source? What is the means to happiness? And here comes the answer. God will intervene in this history and bring happiness. This problem of happiness, overcoming sorrow and injustice, became more acute in the 2nd century BC. Especially during the religious persecution that was unleashed by the Syrian king Antiochus IV called Epiphanes. We have seen the forced Hellenization project that the king wanted to carry through, and the resistance, passive resistance, suffering persecution and death, and the active resistance and armed to revolt by the Maccabees. During this persecution of Antiochus IV came up this particular type of literature. Antiochus claimed himself to be God, Epiphanes, the manifest God. And there were people who were inspired by God to resist this kind of claim of a man. And they were inspired to predict the end of the tyrant and tyranny. And it is in this context that the apocalyptic becomes relevant and widespread. So they were to give hope to a persecuted people, give them strength to remain faithful to God in spite of the persecution, suffering and death. So the people who are undergoing persecution had to be strengthened in faith with a promise. So far the prophecies did not help them somehow to overcome these difficulties. Now comes the apocalyptic vision. God is going to intervene in this history. So God will intervene in this history and bring a new world into being. So this kind of understanding is presented in the book of Apocalyptics. I have already said, so apart from the book of Daniel and book of Revelation, certain other books have certain aspects of this, that God intervening in the history and putting an end to the present history and creating a new heaven and a new earth. One example is Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4 is presenting an apocalyptic vision, a vision concerning the future. Chapter 4 verses 23 and following. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is a visionary experience being interpreted, being proposed as God's intervention into this world tainted by the history of sin, injustice and idolatry. And God is going to put an end to this world of sin. That is what Isaiah also tells in chapters 24 to 27. The book of Joel is another example I have already read at the beginning. So these are some of the beginnings of the apocalyptic literature, but the apocalyptic proper starts in the 2nd century BC. So what are the main ideas of this apocalyptic literature? The first idea that strikes us is the vision of two worlds. The apocalyptic see this present world, the Olam Hazeh, the present world, and the Olam Haba, the world to come. So the distinction of the two ages or two worlds, the present age is so totally corrupt, irredeemably corrupt, and it can be only destroyed. It is beyond redemption. Not even God can redeem this present world. The prophets had envisaged conversion of the people and reconstruction of the society, renewal of lives. The wise men had advised life according to the commandments of God to prosper with God's blessing. But the apocalyptics think both as impossible. The world has become so corrupt, it is beyond redemption and beyond renewal, and it can be only put to an end. So the apocalyptic vision concerning the present age is totally corrupt and it will be destroyed, not renewed. And the age to come, that will be a totally new creation. So this is the basic teaching of the apocalyptic literature. The present world will come to an end in a cosmic cataclysm that God himself will bring in. It is God who comes to destroy the present world and then create a new world. So the present will go That's what we see in the book of Joel. That's what we see also in the New Testament. When Jesus speaks about the coming of the Son of Man, about the end of the present history and the new age to come, Jesus is making use of the apocalyptic terminology to express a reality of a total renewal of this world. So the age to come is what we call the eschaton, the last thing. And the teaching about the last thing is called eschatology. So the apocalyptic literature is concerned more about the eschatology, about the things to come, rather than what is at present, because the present is hopelessly lost. And when is it going to happen? It will happen suddenly, without any warning. It will be a sudden eruption of God into this world. And people had thought through every eclipse of the sun, or earthquake, or storm, some natural phenomena, catastrophe, they thought that God is intervening in history, going to destroy. But again, the world continues. However, the hope of the apocalyptic is that God will definitely intervene into this history and put an end to the present world. The present world will disappear. The sun and moon and stars, all will go. The sky will disappear. There will be absolutely nothing. Total emptiness as of at the beginning. So this is a total elimination of a sinful world. And then comes the new creation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The book of Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, we are told, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, a totally new. So is there a continuity? Is there a connection between the old and the new? According to the apocalyptics, there is no connection at all. But those who remain faithful to God, can be saved. And the Israel and the Gentiles, all those who resist the present evil and remain faithful to God, will find a place in the new world that is to come. Only those who remain faithful to God and His commandments. Now, some characteristics of this apocalyptic literature. The characteristics, the first is the use of symbols. The apocalyptics is using a coded language, a language of symbols. Of course, every language has symbols. Language is only use of symbols, whether written or spoken, whatever it is. But above and beyond this ordinary common symbols, the apocalyptics are using particular symbols that are understandable only to the initiated. Because we know this apocalyptic literature started in a time of persecution. And this literature was a clandestine literature. And this particular literature was advocating or presenting, promising the end of the tyrant and tyranny and God's intervention in creating a new world. And it was dangerous, politically dangerous, to propagate or circulate such literature. If it ever fell into the hands of the tyrants, all those who supported, all those who somehow subscribed to these ideas and literature were liable to further persecution. So they wanted to keep the truth, the revealed truth to themselves, to only to the initiated. And so they were using common language that is deceptively simple. They were using symbols that had totally different meaning to the initiated. The use of symbols, for example, the use of color, the use of animals, or the use of the objects, parts of body, all these have different types of meaning. And through these symbols, they were presenting history as a prophecy. They were interpreting or narrating the present events as something yet to happen. This is very visible in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel speaks about the vision of four beasts. And chapter 8 of Daniel speaks about the vision of a ram and a god. The ram that comes from the west and from the east represents the story history of the Persians and Medes. And the story of the God that flies across the world from the west to the east is the story of Alexander. So history is presented through symbols as a prophecy, as something yet to come. The four major empires of the ancient Middle East was expressed through the four symbols of animals. So the book of Daniel, full of such symbols and prophecies, are in fact historical events presented as prophecies. So use of symbols presenting history as prophecy. Another characteristic of this apocalyptic literature is visions and auditions. Whatever they want to present to the audience is presented as something seen in an unconscious level or in a stage of trance. The visionary, the apocalyptic writer presents himself as a visionary. He is suddenly taken up to a different world and he sees things and he hears voices that in an ordinary situation is impossible to see and hear. So the use of visions and auditions is another characteristic trait of the apocalyptic literature. We do not know exactly if the visionary is seeing and hearing what is it, or is he only making use of a literary form. It could be both. But very often what we see in this apocalyptic literature, what is presented as vision or auditions, are somehow present in the other books as a normal event. Whatever they speak about the history can be also understood from other historical sources. What they speak about the heaven and other things are also presented in different forms in the Bible, biblical books. So the visions and auditions, they hear the angels explaining to them, they see the angel who takes them, and they go into a world that is totally different, presented as an imaginary world or a visionary world. Another characteristic trait of this literature is the pseudonymous or anonymity. The authors are given names of all people, ancient times. So in order to make this literature credible, and in order to guarantee acceptance among the faithful, they use names of ancient celebrities. For example, Isaiah, Moses, or the 12 patriarchs, and such literature, such names are being used. Not exactly in the Bible. There are also literature that does not belong to the Bible. Say, for example, between the Old and New Testament, the intertestamental time, the books of this particular character, there are so many apocalyptic literature. The visions of Enoch, for example, oracles of Sibyl, the testament of 12 patriarchs, the assumption of Moses, the apocalypse of Isaiah, apocalypse of Baruch. These are some of the apocalyptic literature of the ancient, intertestamental time. So these books have all in common this visionary nature and interpretation through an angel. The influence of this literature is quite evident in the New Testament, especially concerning the end of the age, end of the world. In Jesus' preaching, Jesus' teaching about the end of the world, coming of the Son of Man, we can see the same category being used. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 26 following, and parallels in the other synoptic Gospels, we see the apocalyptic language very much in use. Pauline literature, especially the book of Letter to Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, use this particular type of literature. And this being responded to. And above all is the book of Revelation that makes the most of use of this particular literature. And as time progressed, the apocalyptic literature, apocalyptic thought, somehow subsided, came to be of a little popularity among the Christians and Jews, but then it took a clandestine nature, and Gnosticism, Manichaeism, and Docetism and all these movements took over this type of literature. And this continues to influence our present-day society. People coming up with new visions and thinking that they are given a special secret revelation concerning the end of the world that is going to be today imminent, etc. And there are certain particular Christian sects that advocate the imminence of the end of the world, and this is going on from centuries. Jesus had given us a warning that we are not to ask for when it is the end is going to come. The end will come, but be prepared whenever he comes. The Son of Man will come as a thief at night, Jesus said. So the end of the world will come. The end of the world is going to be a transformation of the whole world, as the book of Revelation tells. So we are not to be living in fear of the impending end of the world, but according to Jesus and the teaching of the apostles, we have to keep awake that we may not be led astray. Keep awake by obeying the commandment of Jesus. Love one another as I loved you. And that is more important than being afraid of an impending catastrophic end of the world. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that you will bring a new heaven and a new earth to reality, that the evil will be entirely conquered and life will triumph over death, and that you will be with us forever. You'll pitch your tent among us and we will be living with you forever. We thank you for this assurance. Enable us to keep this in mind even in our trials and tribulations and our temptations, to resist them and to remain faithful to you to the end. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.